What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Hastings Harvest, where I interview some super dope, creative, inspiring people and try to harvest how they go about their craft. Today, I am joined by Adam Kellerman. He is a digital artist, entrepreneur, videographer, photographer. He does a lot, to say the least. He is someone I met through someone who's actually already been on this podcast, which is Nick Ciavarella. These are all some Buffalo-based people. Adam owns the sneaker shop The Cellar in Buffalo, New York, and he also runs his own studio, which is where this podcast took place, called Project 816, where he rents it out to people looking to do videography and photography work. In this podcast, we go over a lot of different things. We go over his early entrepreneurial failures, the effect that never graduating high school had on him, how to get good at pretty much anything, how to deal with stress, and why you might want to quit your job to go full-time into entrepreneurship. This podcast was also recorded in video format. If you want to get access to the video version, as well as plenty of other exclusive content, videos, blog posts, and podcasts from me, then you can check out my Patreon. This is where I'm putting out content that can't be found anywhere else. If you want to check that out, it's patreon.com/Cole Hastings. All right, let's get into the podcast. All right, Adam, thanks for coming on the Hastings Harvest today. I appreciate you. Well, I appreciate you letting us use your studio. We're here in Studio 716.
Project 816.
Project 816. Wow, I got that way wrong. That's embarrassing. Okay. Should I restart this? No, I'll keep it going. Yeah, thank you so much for letting us use this. And it's always cool to be here and see. It seems like you're adding something new every time I come in here.
Trying to.
Yeah, super dope place. Just wanted to have you give a little bit of an introduction as to who you are, what you do right now. Yeah, just a little bit of your background.
So currently, I have a studio here on Elmwood. It's a photo and film studio, per se, I guess. I also have a sneaker and clothing store on Elmwood called The Cellar. So those are like my two main focuses at the moment. And my girlfriend has the salon right in front of the studio that I kind of helped her just get things going, but she's done a great job on her own doing everything. So it's nice to see her in her entrepreneur spirit.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of listeners on this podcast who are trying to develop that. So I'm really excited to talk about that with you. I'd love to know about, like, you just starting off with entrepreneurship. So, I mean, The Cellar obviously came before this, before right. Project 816, but were you into videography before sneaker clothing,
not
stuff
really.
Like that?
Yeah, so it kind of started with that. Like when we opened the store, we were doing new items on our website every day. So we had to do pictures of them every day. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna get a nice camera so we can take good pictures. And that's kind of how it started. And it just really snowballed from there. And it kind of didn't really take off in the beginning. I only did it just for the store. And then years and years went by. There was actually like a period of time where the camera just sat there and I really didn't even use it. We were like, iPhone pictures work just as good and it's way less time for like I would go in the back every night and take the pictures with the camera and then have to upload them to the computer, edit them all, put them back on my phone, and then upload them to the website. So it just became like this super time consuming thing. And we realized that iPhone pictures looked just as good. The iPhone cameras were getting nice at that time. So we just ended up switching and I kind of took a hiatus from the whole camera thing. And then I had started another business that was a line of like shoe cleaning products. And that's when I like really picked the camera back up and like we needed ads and social media content and stuff like that. So that's, yeah, that was kind of the start, I would say, of like the real camera stuff.
Where did you learn all your skills with photography and videography?
Just trial and error in YouTube, mm-hmm. honestly. But just like, I feel like putting myself into situations where basically saying that I could do things that I didn't know I could do yet and kind of forcing myself to figure it out, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it just, I feel like I kind of just had a knack for it a little bit, and so it worked out. Yeah, just a lot of practice, I guess. A lot of practice.
Yeah, it sounds pretty similar to my whole journey with videography and YouTube and everything. It's just like trial and error.
Yeah.
And look up the stuff on YouTube as to how to do it.
I feel like that's how it is for most people now.
Yeah, it should be at least. I mean, a lot of people try to overcomplicate learning something new. Like they keep consuming a ton of information without actually just repeatedly doing the same thing over and over, which is what I tell people. And I actually saw something like you shared the other day, because you sometimes I see you share like some good entrepreneur graphics on your story.
Right.
And it was all about just like being consistent.
That's the key.
And repetition. I saw another dude who put on a story. It was like Lil Wayne talking about repetition is the reason people are masters at the stuff they are. That intelligence that they develop is just because they were willing to do something repeatedly over and over for years that people weren't willing to do.
That's pretty much it. I feel like anyone could be good at anything if they just stayed consistent with it. Exactly. Like the longer you try and practice things, you're going to eventually figure it out one way or another.
For sure. For sure. I'm curious to know about your whole entrepreneurial mindset. Where did that come from? Was that something that developed at a certain age, or like, do you feel like you've always wanted to run your own business?
I feel like a lot of it is like you either got it or you don't, and you're kind of like either born with it or you're not, and you either figure out a way to unlock it or you don't. But my dad was always very, like, he worked for a company. He didn't own a business, nothing. He basically worked in construction forever. But he also, like, did stock market stuff, and he always had something else going on, whether he was, like, flipping a house or just random things that he was doing here and there. But his work ethic is insane. Like, he always worked like crazy. And when I was young, he always kind of made me do the same thing, whether it was just like making my bed every single day and things like that, like little things. But I think over time, they are instilled in you, and it kind of just follows through with everything else that you do. So I would say a lot of like my work ethic and entrepreneurial things came from him. Without me even knowing it at the time. Like, I didn't even realize it until later on in life I unlocked it, I feel like. And then I realized, like, okay, that was, all of that previously was beneficial to me, you know?
Yeah, that, again, that sounds like pretty similar to me, where, you know, I didn't know I wanted to do the stuff that I did, but at the time I had no idea that this was happening, that probably my dad and my mom's work ethic, because they still are working hard as hell in their 60s. And my dad running his own real estate business, I guess that kind of like rubbed off on me. But what you said was that like you either got it or you don't.
Right.
So you're saying it's like an innate thing, because it also sounded like you said it's something that you got from someone else.
Right. So like I guess it's like hard to explain. Like, yes, like I do feel like you got it or you don't, kind of thing. There are things that you can pick up on from other people, and you could even learn those things, and maybe you do them for a week. But I feel like if you got it, you're really going to follow through with doing all of that stuff and putting those traits or characteristics that you learned to use in yourself.
I see. Yeah. More like the got it part is like, if you got it, you will take advantage
exactly.
of the opportunity.
And like actually follow through with it. You know what I mean? It's like when I was in like my whole start to the entrepreneurial thing, I would say I was in middle school, and they took away our vending machines. They were replacing them with, like, we used to get like pop and candy and snacks all in these vending machines. And I think I was in seventh grade, and they decided that the school was gonna go healthy. So they got rid of all of like the good shit in the vending machines, and it was all just like flavored water, and like no one liked it.
Yeah.
So my house at the time was right around the corner from a gas station. I used to be able to ride my bike through a field out of our backyard and get to the gas station. So I would go there and buy 12 packs of pop and candy bars and bring them into school and sell them out of my backpack. And my dad was like all for it, like pushing me to do it. Nice. Fast forward like a couple weeks, maybe months, the school was like, yeah, you can't do that anymore. So it was over for that. And then from there it turned into like burning CDs and selling those in school, which that also, same thing, didn't last very long. Which is like a huge problem, I feel like, because schools don't push that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. No, we're taught the exact opposite in school. So like, follow orders, go get a corporate job, 9 to 5, right. Work your way up the ladder.
Yeah. And I never planned to, like, even in high school and stuff, I was a completely different person in high school. I had no idea what I wanted to do. I was not ambitious, like nothing.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah, and it kind of turned around for me later in life, but yeah, like the whole going to college and all of that, I was just not into it at all.
Mm-hmm. What do you suggest for people trying to figure out what they want to do? Because a lot of people are like, they're just purposeless, and this is something else I really want to talk to you about, is just like having some sort of purpose in life. I feel personally, there's kind of this trending thing on YouTube right now, where people are making videos about like, I don't have a dream job. Like, I don't dream of labor. Like, this is like a trending thing right now. And I keep replaying what these people are saying in my head. And I'm like, I kind of do. Right. Like, I dream of creating something, like working pretty much I don't really like the idea of retiring, honestly.
Yeah.
But I guess that's just like a side point.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever fully retire.
Right.
You know, like maybe not work as much, right. But I don't think it'll be like a full-time retirement thing. Mm-hmm. But I feel like for people that are trying to figure out what they want to do, the best thing that they can do is try as many things that they think that they might be interested in. I did that. Like, I had several other businesses that most people don't even know about because they never made it anywhere and did anything. But I tried them for a few months to see how it fit, you know, and decided that it wasn't for me. And I feel like even that can be a sticky or tricky situation, because then you have people saying you're always doing something different, and like, you know, you get that whole thing where people like to see someone that's consistent and that sticks to something. So when you're not being consistent and you're trying new things, it's almost looked at like a bad thing. But I think it depends on where you are in your life for that to either be a good thing or a bad thing. Like between 20 and 30, you know, try as much as possible. I think Gary Vee says that all the time, yeah. But I feel like it's so true.
Yeah.
And that's like something that I definitely did and just kind of figured it out.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's different from like never sticking to anything ever. I think like, yeah, just eventually one thing that you do really sticks and like something good, really good comes out of it and you're like, okay, I could actually make something out of this. It
right.
just happens.
It's like sometimes you can get lucky in a sense like that, where you're trying a bunch of things and you don't know if any of them are gonna work, and maybe whatever you're trying, you're not even planning for it to work or trying to make it work.
Right.
But then all of a sudden something happens in it and it pops and it works, you know? Mm-hmm. So same thing though. I think it just goes back to trying a lot of different things. Right. You just got to put yourself out there and try as much as you can.
Yeah. And another thing is, you know, buried underneath all the success that you've had, I've had, is like just much more failures,
right? Oh, for sure. So yeah,
that's something that people need to understand. It's like, you're gonna fail a lot of things, but that's how you really figure it out. You got to fail more.
Yeah, no one really pays attention to that stuff. Yeah, that's right. The problem.
Right, the overnight success.
Yeah.
I don't know. That to me, that doesn't really exist.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
Like, people that they call an overnight success, like, there's no way that they just woke up one morning and then the next day it happened.
Yeah.
They were probably doing things low-key or under the radar of everyone around them for however long before whatever it is finally created that overnight success or whatever that is.
What keeps you going doing all that you do, working as hard as you do?
I think that it's a few things. I think I enjoy it a lot. So I think that that's a huge part of it, is like, people are like, my family or girlfriend is like, oh, you work all the time. Like, you work so much. And it's like, it doesn't feel like work. So it doesn't feel like I'm working, you know? Nice. So there's that. But also just like leaving something behind is something that I would like to do. And just having some sort of legacy or something.
That's definitely a huge motivator for a lot of people, is to leave something behind. I don't think that's... I guess what my whole thing is like, while I'm here, I want to leave a positive impact on the world while doing something I like.
Right. You know? Yeah, same thing. So yeah, I've realized later on in life, I mean, I guess not later on because I'm not that old, I'm only 28, but I feel like early on in my entrepreneurial career, I kind of did a lot of things selfishly and for myself. And I feel like now, as I'm getting older, I'm starting to enjoy doing things more for other people, mm-hmm. and just kind of to help other people. Like, I'm finding that I get more joy out of helping someone else achieve something than actually like me doing something that I want to do for myself.
Mm-hmm. I think that's totally natural. And that is something that I'm starting to get there too now, is like, I honestly do think you need to be a little selfish at the start to like focus on yourself, put in as much work as possible to start making enough money to, you know, like you got enough money to do, you know, pretty much whatever now.
Right.
So once you get to that point, it's like, okay, let me see what I can do for other people now.
Right.
Since I'm living this life of abundance, of a lot of joy, let me spread that and bring that to other people. I think that's something that I'm experiencing, that shift right now. It's super nice.
Yeah, I think like that's a big thing that I have been trying to do with the studio. 'Cause at the shop, at the store, it's kind of like, you know, I have employees there and they all have their thing and they're all in their spots and they're all happy and they're making money and they're good. So that kind of runs on its own at this point. So now with the studio, I'm trying to like, I built up like a decent list of clients, video clients and photo clients over the years. And now I'm kind of trying to pass those on to the other people around me, like Nick and Denzel and the other guys that are kind of around here, just trying to create more work for them to put money in their pocket, basically.
Yeah.
And I think there is also a selfish reason behind it too, but it's still like, I'm still helping them, so I feel good about that. But then it's also gonna benefit me in the long run,
right.
But it also benefits all of us.
Right.
So it's kind of like, I feel like there's no real way around that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
Like, I can say that it's not selfish, but is it really not selfish? Like, it kind of is in the end, in the big scheme of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up.
I think it's like long-term selfish, uh-huh. and short-term, like, for other people, mm-hmm. you know?
Right. It's almost impossible to avoid. It's like, part of you is doing it because, like, you know, it's going to be good for not only them, but for yourself.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I get to help someone at the same time or whatever the case may be,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just, it ends up working out that way. And yeah, I don't know. It is what it is, I guess. I feel like there's no way around it.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
there's really not.
I agree. Do you ever get like extremely overwhelmed and stressed with everything you're doing? And
how, oh, for sure.
How do you cope with that? How do you manage that?
So I don't know if I've necessarily found a way to manage it or deal with it properly. I certainly don't like go off the rails, or like I think that I do a good job of not showing it. It's kind of more of like an internal thing than it is like projecting it on other people or the people around me. But I usually just go into go mode when something, usually it's because I'm behind on things and I have too much going on that it's a struggle to keep up with. So like the first thing I'll try and do is like delegate, like who can help me so that I'm caught up or starting to get caught up. So I'll start asking everyone around me if they could do this or help with this or this, to kind of just divvy out some tasks that take a little bit of the weight off my shoulders. And usually I'm paying them to help with this. So it's kind of a win-win situation for everyone. Yeah. So that's the first thing I do. And then usually from there, it's just longer hours and trying to just get through it and do what you can to make it happen. That's really all you can do in those situations. Shutting down or anything like that is only going to make it worse.
Right.
You're better off just, you got to kind of push through it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed more that when I'm like stressed out, I kind of just do something like that where it's like, what other option? I don't know. You got to ask yourself the right questions in those situations in your head. It's like, what other option do you have? Do you want this to happen? Do you want to make this happen? Right. Do you want something great to come out of this, or don't you? If you do, then you got to fucking do what you got to do, right?
Exactly.
Like, what use is it going to be complaining about it? That's only going to make it feel harder and worse.
Right.
So you just like put your nose down and just, I mean, it's basic advice, but just like fucking do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. What do you want? You want to come up here? Do you care if he sits up here?
No, I don't care.
Okay, he'll be calm then. Come on.
We got Adam's dog coming into the podcast for all the audio listeners. When you first started the cellar, how do you get that all set up? I'm really curious about that. How do you get a place to rent, a space to rent, you know, talking to people, getting the word out, like that whole process?
So it was so tricky.
Did you have any sort of experience with something like that before that?
Never. So, and like it totally showed, maybe not to the outside world, but to like me and my business partner internally, like looking back on it, we had no idea what we were doing. Mm-hmm. Like no idea at all. And like fast forward to now, it's obviously much different, but it's just funny to look back on it because we thought that we knew what we were doing. And that, like, we had everything under control, but it was not the case at all. But starting the whole thing was definitely a tough process. Obviously, there was a lot of money involved to starting it. We needed inventory for the shop. I had been collecting sneakers and kind of like streetwear type things for a couple years before then. So I had like a solid base of things that were already mine that I was kind of willing to use to open the store with, so that we could, you know, that I didn't want to sell a lot of the stuff because it was kind of like my personal nest egg collection, but I was kind of willing to do it for the greater good, which was having this amazing shop. And then we also had, so before my store was in that location, there was another sneaker store there. And the owner of that place I was close with, and he was looking to sell because he wanted to get out of the sneaker thing. The culture was kind of shifting. People were, whereas before my shop existed, people were very much more into buying brand new Jordans and sneakers and stuff, and the streetwear thing wasn't really a big thing yet, so it was just there were sneaker shops, but there weren't sneaker and streetwear shops. So he was kind of not willing to change, or didn't want to, so he just decided that he was going to sell the business. like I was saying, things were changing. People were starting to want to buy used shoes as opposed to brand new ones all the time. And he was totally against like selling used shoes. So in order for his business to work, he needed to change, and he knew that he wasn't willing to. So at that point, he wanted to sell it. So that's kind of where I came in, and he asked me about it, asked me if I would be interested in buying it. And I was, obviously. And then a few of his employees that were there were also interested in kind of getting in on the business with me. So that's how I ended up with two business partners, and then one of them we ended up buying out. So now it's just me and my other business partner, Yusuf.
I went to school with him.
Oh, did you? Yes, yeah. Oh, awesome. Yeah, he's a great guy.
2 years above me, I think. Two years?
Probably.
A year or two. Yeah.
How old are you?
Amazing guy. 24.
So yeah, he's probably 2 years above you. Yep. Well, maybe. Or maybe one. I think he's only 25. But yeah. He is a great guy, and absolutely could not do the store without him. Like, not a chance. He's an accountant. That's what he went to. He graduated UB for accounting. So having an in-house accounting guy is just the greatest thing ever for a business like that. Yeah. It helps us immensely. And his work ethic is also incredible. So I think that we work very well together because he does what he does and I do what I do. I feel like it's very important when you're starting a business with someone to, if you're going to have partners, that each partner knows their role and they kind of stick with that. If you have two people trying to do the same thing all the time, you're going to butt heads. And obviously that's not beneficial to anyone. So I feel like it's very important to just have your roles and know what each person does, and you do those things and they get done and everything runs smoothly.
How did you first get people into the store, like get the word out?
So crazy thing, man. I was beyond shocked at our grand opening.
Before I knew anything about you, like years before this, I had heard about this place. Okay. I'm like, yeah, I've always just heard about the cellar, about my friends going there. And I'm like, wait a second. Oh yeah, this is the guy who's the owner.
So I think it helps a lot that we're kind of like the only ones in Buffalo that kind of have that business model.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's sneakers and clothes, new and used, and just that whole kind of streetwear culture infused into one place. There's only two places really in Buffalo that are like it. But I also think that because there was a sneaker store that was very popular in our location before us, that once people, those loyal clients, realized that it was going under new owners and that we were kind of changing the vibe up a little bit, that it made them very intrigued. And there were also a lot of people that had already kind of followed me that found out that I was opening a store, so then they were also interested. There were people that were following my business partner that found out that he was taking over the store that he previously worked at, so that intrigued those people. So I think a combination of all of those things just led to a really good opening and really good exposure for us. We promoted it on social media and stuff, but nothing crazy, you know, just basic things. And I wouldn't call it a business, but I was like building up Instagram accounts and trying to sell them and all organically, like never like buying followers or like doing it. Yeah, no ads, none of that stuff. So I had this account, it was called Supreme Grid, and shout out to anyone that actually knows that existed or remembers that. But I had that account forever, and it was outfit grids, but every outfit grid, it was just me reposting, but every outfit grid had like a Supreme item in it. So that's where the Supreme Grid thing kind of came from. And I had built that account up a little bit. There was a lot of Buffalo people following it. Then it kind of transitioned into a page where I was selling like my personal items, like shoes and clothes and things, and kind of started the store business just on Instagram by myself. And then when the store opened, we converted that Instagram into the store. So we kind of had like a nice little base follower. It wasn't a lot, it was like a few thousand, but yeah. And then I think now we're at like 34,000 or 35,000, which took a long time to get there. It's been just over 4 years now. It was 4 years in April. Nice. So yeah.
Nice. Do you manage like the social media page? Do you do all the stuff for it?
So I was just telling, I forget who I was telling, but I was just talking about this with someone. I used to be, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about before, but I used to be so like adamant about me running the social media and me alone. Like I was very protective over it. And even after I got like a few employees and like my business partner never did anything with Instagram, he left, that was kind of part of my role, right? It was like the Instagram stuff. But I always wanted to do everything by myself. Like, okay, if the Instagram thing is my role, then I'm gonna crush it and I'm gonna do it and it's gonna be my thing. And even when I got employees, like it got to a point where when I wasn't at the shop, they would be taking pictures and sending them to me so that I could post them even when I wasn't there. And it just kind of got ridiculous. And I was like, all right, I need to start like trusting people a little bit more and giving them the password and kind of letting them run it a little bit. And just now we have different employees working on different days. So they kind of all need to be a part of it because our business model requires us to post frequently. So whoever scheduled that day is taking 12 to 15, 18, 20 something photos a day and posting them. So it's kind of important that we all do that. And just having 34,000 followers, the amount of DMs that we get constantly about things and just how to buy things or if this is still available or whatever, it kind of takes a whole team to manage all of that and run all of that. So yeah, now I'm super hands off with the Instagram. I used to be way more involved. It was only me, and then it was kind of me and someone else, and now it's become a team thing, a group effort. But I feel like that's really important, and I feel like it's hard for people to get past that. I think when they build something or they're the owner of something, that they need to like really be in control and really, and I just feel like that's not a very efficient, long-term way to run things. You're just going to burn yourself out in the end. You're better off asking for help, even if it's uncomfortable, and kind of putting trust in people that are involved and letting them do their thing also.
Yeah, I think it's important to have that humility when learning something new and like, you know, just running things, it's something I still struggle with it, honestly. I don't want to get an editor for my YouTube channel. I mean, personally, I love the editing process. And I think that that's my brand. I'm still learning with editing. And I like still want to get better at it. And, you know, maybe I could pay someone to do something for me, but I just like, maybe I'm not there yet.
I feel like there's a time and a place.
Yeah.
Like if you're it's behind... Also- Like, yeah. And you need to catch up, like I was saying, pay someone to help you, you know, or get someone that wants to learn, that'll help you for free, interns, you know, anything. Right. You're also doing them a favor at the same time.
For sure.
So, yeah, I think there's a time and a place for those things.
So I want to ask you a bit of a personal question. What is the biggest failure, the biggest, like, lowest point in your life that you can think of, and what did it take and what did you do to overcome it?
I feel like there's been a lot of, I wouldn't call them little ones, like a lot of little failures. There's definitely been a lot of little failures. I don't know if there's ever been like a monstrosity of a failure. I mean, I could think of two things that are like really up there. So I didn't graduate high school, That was like a huge thing for me. Yeah, like I said, I was a totally different person in high school. Not ambitious, not motivated, like just had a lot of family things that went on growing up that kind of led me to a point where it just things weren't clicking and meshing, and you know, that there was that whole thing. So it was kind of like this feeling of now I'm not in high school and I didn't graduate, and now I'm like not going to college, obviously. So what am I doing? And trying to figure that out. I think that those were like scary moments where I was like, shit, like I think I probably fucked up and I wish that I could go back and change that. Like totally one of my biggest regrets. I wish every day that I could, even though I am where I am, I still wish that I could go back and graduate high school and like do it differently. Like I made things so much harder on myself than they needed to be. It could have been so much easier. Could have just been a normal kid that like did his homework and breezed through, but I chose like a much more difficult path that obviously didn't work out because I didn't graduate high school. It ended up working out long term by miracle, maybe, who knows. Hard work, whatever the case may be. But there's that, and then there's also the shoe cleaning business that I was talking about before. We took money in from investors on that, and it was not a small sum of money. And that business failed miserably, didn't work out. So we lost the money for those investors. And that was the first time that I had ever been involved with a business that wasn't completely funded by me. So now I'm losing other people's money. And it was just a nightmare, to say the least. And just, I had no experience with it, so I didn't even know how it worked to begin with. Then losing the money, like going into it, I didn't know how it worked. And then for it to fail, I really didn't know how that worked either. So that was tough. That was definitely tough. And I think it was a time where I thought like, what am I doing? You know, like, is this any of this ever gonna work, you know? And like the store, I still had the store during that time. This is like a couple years into the store, but when you start a business like that, you don't make money immediately. Everyone thinks that like I was rich off of the store, like right when it started, you know, and that's not the case. I mean, it took us years to turn a profit in that place. And I feel like just this year is like a year that we're really actually starting to make money. And we're 4 years in now. So
how did you like at that lowest point of like this, the shoe cleaning failing, like what was it? What did it take for you to overcome that? Like, how did that happen?
So to be honest, I don't know if I really know the answer to that. Like I really don't. I think it was just, I was kind of backed into a corner. Like I either needed to figure it out or do nothing at all. So like, what do you do in that situation? I'm not gonna just do nothing because that's just not who I am physically, mentally, you know, I'm not gonna just sit around and do nothing. So I think that's really what it came down to, was like, okay, we're gonna get through this. We're gonna figure out what is the best course of action. How can we make these people happy that we had lost their money? How can we try to like fix things and mend relationships? And then after that's done, what is the next step? What can I do now to keep doing something, right? So yeah, that was it. It was just one of those moments where it was kind of like sink or swim kind of thing.
Yeah, that's something I want to know your opinion about, because a lot of people say have a backup plan, have something to fall back on. But at the same time, if you do that, then maybe you won't give it your all. Right.
And I agree with that.
You do.
So I agree with that in this sense. People come to me all the time with business plans, ideas. You know, they want to do this, they want my advice, or they want me to help them or get in on it with them or something. So 9 times out of 10, these people are working a job, a normal job, a 9 to 5, and they're deciding whether or not they should quit that job and go full bore entrepreneur life, or if they should be half in, half out, that kind of thing. So I think in that sense, for me, I backed myself into a corner and it forced me to figure it out. Now, I worked a construction job for 5 years before the store was open. I made decent money there. That's kind of how I opened the store and did all of that. I saved all that money. So I decided that I was going to quit my job, and I didn't open the store yet. The store wasn't even a thing yet. And I was like, I'm going to quit because I know that I don't want to do this forever. Yeah. So I'm going to force myself to figure it out. I think for some people that works, and I think for some people it doesn't. For me, it does. I always suggest it to people. I say, if you have a little bit of money to fall back on and you can survive for a little bit, if you quit your job, quit your job, because it's going to force you to go 10 times harder in whatever it is you're trying to do. And I think that, yeah, when there is that fallback cushion, we don't push ourselves as hard. We don't try as hard.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But with saying that, I'm glad that I have a degree just in case. But like, I can like confidently say I don't see me ever using it for something. Like, I think I'm going to be doing what I'm doing or something along the lines of this, right?
Right.
Like working for myself for the rest of my life. But yeah, we need to apply pressure on ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, there needs to be a, like, if you don't do this, you're fucked.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. I think that that's kind of how successful people are born.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's that there's like that defining moment, right? Where like, it could go this way or it could go that way. And you kind of have to decide then, like, if you're really going to go for it or if you're not. And you really do have to give it your all. I think that people look at entrepreneurship and owning businesses and things as like, it's like such a flex. But it's also like, they think that once that initial work is done, they can sit back and just collect the benefits from it. And it's completely the exact opposite. It's not like that at all. You end up having to work 10 times harder than if you just stayed at your 9-to-5 job. You know, I think that there's people that are made to work a 9-to-5 job. Like, we need those people in the world, you know?
Absolutely.
Not everyone can just start a business, because there would be no employees ever.
And that's what I always say.
Right, like the world would not run with no employees.
With only entrepreneurs.
Right, yeah. So yeah, it's just, you gotta figure out which one you are and go after it. And there's nothing wrong with a 9-to-5 either. I always tell people that too, like, there's nothing wrong with working a normal job or working for someone. Like, that's a great thing. And like, you also can rise up in companies and make just as much as a CEO at a different company, you know, and still not have those pressures of owning the business. I mean, when you own the business, it's solely on you. And especially when you have other people working for you, now it's like, okay, now their life is almost in my hands. Where like, if I'm not paying them, if I'm not making money and not paying them, then they're not feeding their families or taking care of their kids or living, paying their rent, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. So it really, yeah, it's very like, it's pressure, a lot of pressure. But I think you learn how to deal with it over time, and you kind of can figure out how to manage it.
So this is something that I ask pretty much everybody on this podcast, and then we'll wrap it up a little bit here. If you could put any sort of saying, sentence, whatever, on a billboard, it would be put everywhere, what would it say and why?
Oh man. I would say, just off the top of my head, I'm sure I could think of something way better if I had more time and it wasn't on the spot, but work hard and practice patience. I think patience is something that I was so bad with in the beginning, and it took me a while to learn that patience is important. and just starting a business and expecting it to be amazing right out of the gate and expecting me to be bringing in tons of money right out of the gate was a pipe dream.
Yeah.
And it really just created so much more stress for me internally. Like, I'm stressing myself out because I'm like, this isn't working. But it was working. It was just taking time to work. And I think that everything does take a little bit of time. You got to let it grow and let it flourish. And in 4 years from opening your business, you're going to be in a completely different place than you are in the beginning.
Right.
So,
as long as you be consistent.
And be consistent. Yeah. Yeah. That could be part of the billboard.
Yeah.
The consistency thing.
Yeah.
Work hard, be patient, practice patience, and stay consistent.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm always preaching that because I get so many people telling me like, hey, my YouTube channel, I've been posting videos for 6 months, nothing's happening. I've been posting videos for, I got like 30 videos already, like 10 views a video. I'm like, it takes a lot longer than that. Like,
especially with YouTube.
Yeah, especially with YouTube. You got to do this for years before you see any sort of traction.
Right.
So, and that's, you know, that's why successful people are successful and unsuccessful people fail because they stop because they don't see it. They don't see it right away. Entrepreneurship is cool. It's like, oh, I got my own business. Like, people think it's like fucking fancy cars and fucking flashy when really all we do is sit behind a computer 24/7.
Yeah.
Like, that's my life.
I'm like, my day-to-day is like running from place to place or locking in at the studio, going from the studio to the store, to a meeting, to this, to that, to talking to someone, to whatever the case may be. It's a lot. I mean, yeah, calendars are everything. Super important. I also just want to make something clear that like the whole staying consistent thing, I feel like it could be misconstrued at times. I think that you should stay consistent if it's something that you're passionate about and that you love. If you find a little ways into doing something that you're not passionate about it anymore, then don't force yourself to stay consistent just because the right thing to do is to stay consistent. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's not working and you decide 6 months in that you don't really like this anymore, there's nothing wrong with that. You have to try things in order to figure out if you like them or not. That could be for 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever the case may be. You might find later down the line that you don't like it anymore. And then that whole stay consistent thing goes out the window because now it's like, I don't love this anymore. So I don't want to stay consistent. Mm-hmm. I want to try something else. So yeah, I think that that's just something important to make clear.
Yeah.
So it's not like, if you decide not to stay consistent because you're not passionate, that doesn't mean that you're failing or that you let it fail or that you're not consistent. It just means that you decided to move on to something else.
Yeah, it's not meant for you anymore or wasn't meant for you.
You just need to then stay consistent with trying new things until you find the right thing that you can actually stay super consistent with.
Let the people know where they can find you. Like, what's the Instagram, businesses, whatever.
So
people want to book here.
Yeah.
So we'll start with the store. The store, the Instagram is The X Seller. We're located on Elmwood Ave in Buffalo. We just moved to a bigger location now. It's a little bit bigger. It's a lot nicer. It's much more inviting than the old store. If anyone watching this has been to the old shop, but not the new one, definitely come and check out the new spot. It's a completely different vibe in there. And then the studio is at project.816, and then my personal Instagram at akxadam. I think that's it. That's everything.
All right. Sweet. Yeah. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Definitely, man. Thank you.